Welcome to day 49 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are continuing to read in the book of Leviticus. We are reading from the New American Standard Bible, and we will be covering Leviticus 16, 17, and 18. And I want to give a little parental guidance warning to you who have been reading it together as a family. If you have young children, you may not want to have them listen to this particular section, because when we get to chapter 18, the entire chapter is on the subject of laws on immoral relationships. And it's rather straightforward or graphic somewhat. And if it's not something that you've discussed with your children and it's not something you are ready to discuss with your young children, it may not be wise to have them listen, because I guarantee you it will elicit the question, what does that mean? And if they're not at an age when it's appropriate to discuss immorality and the meaning of all of that, it may be a good one to skip. So, today we are beginning at Leviticus chapter 16, starting at verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they had approached the presence of the Lord and died. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, or he will die, for I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. Aaron shall enter the holy place with this, with a bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen tunic, and the linen undergarment shall be next to his body, and he shall be girded with the linen sash and attired with the linen turban. These are holy garments. Then he shall bathe his body in water and put them on. He shall take from the congregation of the sons of Israel 2 male goats for a sin offering and 1 ram for a burnt offering. Then Aaron shall offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household. He shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Aaron shall cast lots for the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. Then Aaron shall offer the goat on which the lot for the Lord fell and make it a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot for the scapegoat fell shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, to send it into the wilderness as the scapegoat. Then Aaron shall offer the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his household. And he shall slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. He shall take a fire pan full of coals of fire from upon the altar before the Lord, and 2 handfuls of finely ground sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil. He shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the ark of the testimony. Otherwise, he will die. Moreover, he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat, on the east side. Also in front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. He shall make atonement for the holy place because of the impurities of the sons of Israel and because of their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And thus he shall do for the tent of meeting, which abides with them in the midst of their impurities. When he goes in to make atonement in the holy place, no one shall be in the tent of meeting until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household and for all the assembly of Israel. Then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord, and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull, and of the blood of the goat, and put it on the horns of the altar on all sides. With his finger he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it 7 times, and cleanse it, and from the impurities of the sons of Israel consecrate it. When he finishes atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall offer the live goat. Then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And he shall lay them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who stands in readiness. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to a solitary land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tent of meeting and take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. He shall bathe his body with water in a holy place, and put on his clothes, and come forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. Then he shall offer up in smoke the fat of the sin offering on the altar. The one who released the goat as the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body with water. Then afterward he shall come into the camp. But the bull of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be taken outside the camp, and they shall burn their hides, their flesh, and their refuse in the fire. Then the one who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body with water. Then afterward he shall come into the camp. This shall be a permanent statute for you. In the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall humble your souls and not do any work, whether the native or the alien who sojourns among you. For it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You will be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is to be a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute. So the priest who is anointed and ordained to serve as priest in his father's place shall make atonement. He shall thus put on the linen garments, the holy garments, and make atonement for the holy sanctuary. And he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar. He shall also make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. Now you shall have this as a permanent statute to make atonement for the sons of Israel for all their sins once every year. And just as the Lord had commanded Moses, so he did. Chapter 17. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and to his sons and to all the sons of Israel, and say to them, This is what the Lord has commanded, saying, Any man from the house of Israel who slaughters an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or who slaughters it outside the camp, and has not brought it to the doorway of the tent of meeting to present it as an offering to the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood guiltiness is to be reckoned to that man. He has shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. The reason is so that the sons of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they were sacrificing in the open field, that they may bring them into the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting to the priest, and sacrifice them as sacrifices of peace offerings to the Lord. The priest shall sprinkle the blood on the altar of the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting, and offer up the fat in smoke as a soothing aroma to the Lord. They shall no longer sacrifice their sacrifices to the goat demons with which they play the harlot. This shall be a permanent statute to them throughout their generations. Then you shall say to them, any man from the house of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them, who offers a burnt offering or sacrifice and does not bring it to the doorway of the tent of meeting to offer it to the Lord, that man also shall be cut off from his people. And any man from the house of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. Therefore I said to the sons of Israel, no person among you may eat blood, nor may any alien who sojourns among you eat blood. So when any man from the sons of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them in hunting catches a beast or a bird which may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with earth. For as for the life of all flesh, its blood is identified with its life. Therefore I said to the sons of Israel, you are not to eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. When any person eats an animal which dies or is torn by beasts, whether he is a native or an alien, he shall wash his clothes, bathe in water, and remain unclean until evening. Then he will become clean. But if he does not wash them or bathe his body, then he shall bear his guilt. Chapter 18. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes, to live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, by which a man may live, if he does them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach any blood relative of his to uncover nakedness. I am the Lord. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father, that is, the nakedness of your mother. She is your mother. You are not to uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It is your father's nakedness. The nakedness of your sister, either your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether born at home or born outside, their nakedness you shall not uncover. The nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover, for their nakedness is yours. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, born to your father, she is your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She is your father's blood relative. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is your mother's blood relative. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not approach his wife. She is your aunt. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and of her daughter, nor shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are blood relatives. It is lewdness. You shall not marry a woman in addition to her sister as a rival while she is alive to uncover her nakedness. Also, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness during her menstrual impurity, and you shall not have intercourse with your neighbor's wife to be defiled with her. You shall not give any of your offspring to offer them to Molech, Nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. Also, you shall not have intercourse with any animal to be defiled with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. Do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all these the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled, for the land has become defiled. Therefore I have brought its punishment upon it, so the land has spewed out its inhabitants. But as for you, you are to keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not do any of these abominations, neither the native nor the alien who sojourns among you. For the men of the land who have been before you have done all these abominations, and the land has become defiled, so that the land will not spew you out should you defile it, as it has spewed out the nation which has been before you. For whoever does any of these abominations, those persons who do so shall be cut off from among their people. Thus you are to keep my charge, that you do not practice any of the abominable customs which have been practiced before you, so as not to defile yourselves with them. I am the Lord your God. This is the end of today's Bible reading. In today's scripture reading, we come to a place in the Word of God where God Himself, speaking to Moses and to the people of Israel, lays down God's standards for sexual morality and immorality. And this is a place that brings a lot of controversy in our modern day society, because in chapter 18 of Leviticus, there are some very straightforward and strong statements by God Himself. This is not the opinion of a man, but these are God's words calling these various types of sexual immorality to be sin, to be perversion, to be lewdness, and even called an abomination. And yet we live in a society where multiple of the things that we just read through, including homosexuality, has been declared in the media and in mainstream culture to be perfectly acceptable. And in fact, in the United States anyway, and in many other countries as well, there has literally been an open arms welcoming of the sin of homosexuality as part of our culture that should be embraced. The Word of God tells us that in the last days, men will call what is good evil and what is evil good. And that is what we're seeing today. Now, you may find these words that I'm speaking to you very difficult to accept, but I'm not speaking from my own opinion. I am simply recounting what we just heard spoken by the Lord in Leviticus chapter 18, where these sins of sexual immorality are delineated very clearly. We begin with this entire passage from verses 6 through 18, which talks about incest in multiple forms, where sexual relations between a person and a blood relative is completely forbidden by God. And yet we live in a day when molestation inside the family has reached catastrophic proportions, when the number of women who report having been molested by their fathers or by their brothers is beyond belief. And this is the exact subject that's addressed here in these verses, that God speaks that no one is ever to uncover the nakedness of a blood relative, and it's referring to sexual relations between relatives, which we know as the word incest. And this is wickedness in God's sight. It's an abomination to the Lord. It's completely devastating to the person who is victimized in this way. And yet, we don't hear this spoken about in such a strong way as we see it here in the Word of God. And then it goes on to talk about the sin of adultery. You shall not have intercourse with your neighbor's wife to be defiled with her. So it's called a defiling thing to participate in adultery. And yet, again, we live in a culture where the vast majority of television programming and movies that are being produced have this element of adultery as if it was exciting, as if it was desirable, as if it was something to be pursued rather than something to be appalled by. So what this brings to us is the clear picture that culture, current culture, is completely opposed to what is God's culture, what God lays down for us as scriptural morality. In the beginning of chapter 18, the Lord speaking to Moses says, I'm the Lord your God. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I'm bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. And this is the preamble to when he begins to delineate clearly, these sexual sins shall not be found among you. And it addresses all these various varieties of sexual immorality. So the Lord is telling the people, his people, don't do what the culture you are living around is doing. This shall not be done among you. You are a people set apart for me. These are my standards, God's standards, is what the Lord is saying. And you're to live in accord with my standards. That's what God says. You are to perform my judgments, keep my statutes, to live in accord with them, which means God is saying, I want you to be in agreement with my standards for morality. And this is the call of God on our lives today. And yet we are confronted every single day with the world standards of accepting sin as if it was not sin, of calling what God calls sin to be good, calling what is evil in the Lord's sight, what is perversion in the Lord's sight, what is lewdness in God's sight, what's an abomination in God's sight, calling that good and calling any opposition to more immorality as evil. You know, in our day, if a person stands up for and speaks out for God's standard of morality, in America, they're called a hater, meaning that, oh, you hate people. But it's not true. To say that a person is a hater because they stand up for God's standard of morality is a wicked thing to do, and yet it's what's commonly happening today. God's standards are God's standards. They will never be human standards because human standards always are based on self gratification, what pleases the flesh. God's standards are based on what God says is pure and holy and right and pleasing to God. So you have a decision to make in your life and in your family's life. Are you desiring to come into agreement with God about morality? Are you willing to bow your own desires and your own opinions to God's standards? Are you willing to live in accord with them, which is what God says to Moses here in verse 4 of Leviticus 18? You're to live in accord with my statutes, the Lord told him. You should keep my statutes so you can live by doing them, and not do what is done in the land of the people around you. Meaning, you're surrounded by a culture that doesn't agree with or walk in the standards of God. But are you going to walk in the standards of God? That's a choice for every single individual and every single family to make. And we are living in a time when this is becoming more and more critical. The United States is having a big battle right now where state after state has been approving homosexual marriages. Same-sex marriages are being pursued in the courts so that it becomes legal for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. Whether you agree with that or you don't, or whether you have compassion on those people or whatever your position is, you need to stop and you need to say, what does the Word of God say about that subject? And forget the people involved, because God loves the people. It's not about God hating people. God doesn't hate any person. He loves all people. God hates sin, though. God hates immorality. God hates wickedness. God hates perversion. God hates sexual abomination and lewdness. According to his standards, God hates those things. He loves people. That's why he sent Jesus to die for people. People who were sinners of every type, whether they were a murderer or someone who commits sexual sin, God sent Jesus to die for them, to bring them back into relationship with him. But it doesn't change God's standards about sexual morality. So put aside for a moment your own thinking about the subject of homosexuality and the subject of same-sex marriage. Just put your own opinion aside and ask God himself, what is God's opinion? What does the Word of God tell us about this subject? It says very clearly here in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, you shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. It's very clear. This is a direct reference to homosexuality, that a person is not to have sex, man with a man or woman with a woman. In God's eyes, it's an abomination. Now, does God hate people who commit that sin? No, God does not hate people, ever. He loves people. He loves every person. No matter what sin that they are in bondage to, God loves them. But God hates sexual immorality in every form, whether it's adultery, whether it's incest, whether it's rape, whether it is homosexuality. Whatever sexual sin, and God is the determiner of what is sin and what is not, not us as human beings. This is a God, a holy God is the one who determines what is holy and what is not holy, what is clean and what is unclean. When God says that something is an abomination to him, that word means depravity. It means the state of being depraved in act or practice. It also means moral corruption. So in God's eyes, this word where it says a person shall not lie with a male as with a female, it is an abomination. God is saying that sin of homosexuality is moral corruption, meaning that it's not the way God designed it. It's become corrupt. Sex is not a sin in and of itself. God is the one who created the sexual relationship and everything about a human being, including their sexuality. However, the Lord created man and woman and man, the sexuality of human beings for the purpose of for which he created it, not for the purpose for which man has pursued it, but God's purpose for loving relationship between a husband and a wife, for procreation, to produce offspring. God had a purpose for married love to be a blessing. We see that in the Word of God very clearly. But there has been such a corruption of sexuality in our culture, and it has become more and more depraved, more and more morally corrupt in our society. Pornography has become one of the number one sellers, or you could say industries, money makers in our contemporary society. How sad is that? And that is because the culture that we live in has become one that is pursuing abominations, pursuing lewdness, pursuing sexual immorality at such an incredible degree that it makes money off of this through pornographic movies, through pornographic images, through pornographic websites. And is this pleasing to God? Of course not. It is a perversion, the scripture calls it. This is God speaking, not me. It is a perversion. It is lewdness. And all of these things are discussed here in Leviticus chapter 18. So let me challenge you, especially if you are a person who, maybe you have friends who are homosexual people, maybe you have a relative who is involved in homosexuality, and it's hard for you to hear that this is something so unpleasing to God. And yet we can't be the determiner of what is holy and what is unholy, or what is clean in God's eyes, what's unclean, what's pure in God's eyes, and what's impure. God is the holy God who makes the determination of what is moral and what is immoral. And God has called homosexuality here in this chapter of Leviticus, God said it's an abomination. God loves the people, but God hates the sin. And we're not to be somebody that agrees with what the culture says is good when God says it is not good. We cannot be those people. If you are a Christian and you are somebody who says you believe in the word, what the word of God says, then you have to bow your own opinion to this word of God and decide, I have to come in agreement with the Lord. That's why the Lord spoke to Moses at the beginning of this chapter and said, you can't walk in the statutes or the moral standards of the country where you just came out of or the country into which you are going. You cannot do that. You shall not walk in their moral code. You are to keep my moral code, the Lord says in verse 4. And you are to live in accord with my statutes, my level of my standard for holiness and purity in life, because I'm the Lord, your God. And you shall keep my statutes, my standards, my laws, not what the world says, not what your culture says, not what the people around you say. You may have to make a decision as to whether or not you believe the word of God and you plan to come into agreement with the word of God. And this is a challenge to believers today, because we have seen in the United States the multiple major denominations actually debating the subject of whether homosexuality is a sin, whether same-sex marriage is a sin, and not being able to come into agreement on the subject. In fact, one major denomination, a panel that was going over or studying this subject, agreed that the biblical references to sexual practices should not be viewed as binding just because they are in the Bible. Well, that is people, those are people who have decided that the Bible, the scriptures, are not to be their moral code. They have decided they will choose what they like in the Bible and what they don't like, what they want to agree with in the Bible and what they do not want to agree with. And that is a sad statement, because God, who is holy and perfect, who created the world and set the moral standard, the one who has spoken his word, has set out what is absolute truth. And yet we live in a society today when, and in America, I can state this from studies that have been done, where over 70% of Americans that were polled state that there's no such thing as absolute truth. With that statement, you know that those people do not hold to the standard that is in the Word of God. If there's no such thing as absolute truth, and there's no such thing as absolute standards for purity and impurity, holiness, then you have no basis for any type of standard, because then it is reduced to whatever I feel like, whatever I think, whatever I want to say is good, and whatever I want to say is bad, and there's no absolute value for truth and morality, then you are going to be living in a culture where there is no standard for living and everything will begin to descend into chaos because there's no basis for right and wrong. There's no basis for training your children. Francis Schaeffer, a great Christian philosopher, once said, if there are no absolutes by which to judge society, then society itself becomes absolute. And that is what's happened in our day. Our culture, our society has decided that they will decide what's right and what's wrong, whether that's in agreement with God or not. And that is a sad state for a country, a nation, a culture to come into. And that is the place that the Israelites were being challenged by God. The Lord said to them, you shall not do what's done in the land that you just came from, where they had their own standards for morality, and you're not to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I'm bringing you. You shall not walk in their standards for morality. You're to perform and walk in my standards and live in accordance with them. That was a choice that they had to make. Would they choose God's standards, or would they choose the standards of the world around them? That's the same choice for us today. When you watch on television things that are opposed to the Word of God, you like to watch a certain maybe show or program where the parties who are in that program live in sexual sin, maybe they're adulterers, they're having adulterous relationships, and you enjoy that type of programming, you are putting yourself in a position where your mind and your thoughts and your choices and your decisions are being influenced very strongly by the world. And you have to make a decision. Am I going to continue to fill my spirit, my mind, my thoughts with that type of input that's opposed to the Word of God? Or am I going to guard my heart and my thoughts? Because the more you watch that kind of programming, television, movies, the more influence you will become and your children will become. Because then the standard of God's holiness is being blurred and the standards of the world are coming into very clear focus. That's the standard of the world. You can cheat on your wife. You can cheat on your husband. You can have a relationship with someone in your extended family. Those things are wicked in God's eyes, and yet the world doesn't call them wicked at all. It calls them desirable. We have to decide that we are going to line ourselves, our lives, our hearts, our thoughts up with the Word of God. Never hating people for committing those sins that God calls sin. Loving them, but still holding that it is to the Word of God that says, in God's eyes, these types of sexual sins are immoral in the Lord's eyes. They're lewd in the Lord's eyes. It's an abomination in God's eyes, perversion. That's God's standards. God says that an entire land or nation can become defiled because of the sin of the people in that land. It says at the end of the chapter 18 of Leviticus here, it says, for the men of the land who have been before you have done all these abominations. In other words, all these sexual sins I just listed have been done by the people who lived here before you. And because of it, the land has become defiled. And the Lord was warning them, don't defile the land by committing these things. We live in a day when our country in the United States here has become very defiled by sexual sin and sexual practices that are against God's word. And it's my prayer that the remnant of people who hold to God's standards will pray for for our nation in the United States and whatever nation you're living in, that people will begin to have a heart for what is in God's heart and want to line themselves, their lives, their minds, their ideas up with what the Word of God says. Let's hold to God's standards love people, but we need to hate the things that God says are an abomination to Him. And pray for those who are bound in those sins. The Lord loves them. The Lord wants to deliver them. The Lord wants to set them free. The Lord wants to reconcile them to Himself, bring them into His family, and help them to walk in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. That's God's heart. He doesn't hate a single person on the earth, even the worst murderer, God does not hate. However, He tells us, don't defile yourselves with these sins. I am the Lord your God. Don't practice any of the abominable customs which have been practiced before you so as not to defile yourselves with them. That's the word of the Lord. Keep those thoughts in your mind today and really consider what you're putting your eyes on in the media. And begin to just remove from yourself anything that is not in agreement with God's word. God bless you and give you a good day.